always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. No days off in Washington ahead of a congressional vote on a bipartisan budget agreement to raise the debt ceiling. President Biden telling reporters as he left the White House that he's confident the U.S. will be able to meet the new June 5th debt deadline.
I never say I'm confident what the Congress is going to do, but I feel very good about it.
After laying a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at Arlington National Cemetery, President Biden spoke to a crowd of veterans and families, highlighting the importance of remembering sacrifices of fallen military members. Explosions rattling the Ukrainian capital of Kyiv today as Russian ballistic missiles hit after a more common nighttime barrage of the city by drones and cruise missiles. 8 people rescued from the rubble of a 6-story building that collapsed in Davenport, Iowa, Sunday. That building now slated for demolition. Fire Chief Mike Carlston.
It's posing a risk to responders. We are actively working for the best course of action.
This is ABC News. A Kansas City teenager shot after ringing the doorbell on the wrong house participated in a walk-run event to raise money for traumatic brain injury.
16-year-old Ralph Yarl marked Memorial Day by joining a holiday walk-run. The teen is still recovering after going viral for being shot by a homeowner after mistakenly ringing the doorbell on the wrong house in April. His mother, Cleo Nagby, says Yarl's recovery will be a long one.
Brain injury is a process. It's not an event. It takes time.
The 84-year-old homeowner accused of shooting Yarl is charged with felony assault and armed criminal action. He's awaiting a judge's decision on whether his case should be sealed. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
Reports of slow progress in Paris as the UN representatives met today to work on a treaty to end global plastic pollution. Intergovernmental Negotiating Committee for Plastics has a 2024 deadline to come up with a binding international agreement. The participating countries reportedly divided between global mandates and national pollution solutions. Andy Field, ABC News.
Hey folks, keep her moving to Civic Media every Saturday and Sunday at noon for the Cripescast with me, Charlie Behrens.
We've been out here all day. We've had 5 or 6 beers and only one fish.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matt Mayer. Here's what you need to know. The Wisconsin Realtors Association says existing home sales in April down 32.5% compared to last year, so it's still a seller's market. The Milwaukee, Madison, and Green Bay areas all saw home sales drop 31 to 36% in April of this year. It's even worse for homes considered more affordable for first-time buyers. The association says there are 1.7 months of inventory in the $125,000 to $200,000 range and 2 months of inventory in the $200,000 to $350,000 range. This winter, the Great Lakes saw the 4th lowest ice cover since scientists began keeping track a half century ago. Data from NOAA shows the average ice cover was only 6.2% this year. The average over the last 50 years, 24.5%. I'm Jane Matt Nair. This is Civic Media News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to Hot Gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGB. And on the Civic Media app.
Oh my gosh, it's more fun than a big block of Colby or Cheddar. The Cripescast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be Indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cook, Hidney Cutter,
because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Haley and Nancy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're right, Dega, and this portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, thanks a lot. Hey, I had to turn off the fan. You know, I got fans everywhere, and I heard a big hiss, and it was my fan blowing into the microphone. Hey, we have Nancy Bolio, Bemidji 350, MN 350, and just all around great activists, and we love catching up with Nancy. Nancy, welcome to Native Roots Radio. Ho!
Bonjour. For our listeners out there, I am Nancy Bolio here in northern Minnesota. I am on the 1855 treaty land here on Leech Lake. And I just want to say, Robert, you know, every day is a good day to be Indigenous, too. So we got to get that out there because, you know, just knowing the struggles that some of us deal with, you know, from day to day, I think it's really important. We got to remind ourselves who we are. And, you know, this is more than just going to a powwow or, you know, and celebrating and reminding the world that we're still here in those small ways. We need to show up and remind the rest of the world that we're still here, and we have to take our power back, Robert. And I think that's, you know, a lot of the work that we do here in Minnesota is taking our power back and reminding our relatives that it's not a crime to assert treaty. It's a crime to deny them. And how do we get this message out, and how do we get people to come and, you know, support what we do, and not just here, but even in their own home territory, their own homelands, that they, well, you know, assert their treaty rights, Robert.
Exactly. And, you know, we have a lot of people jumping in, listening in. Let's talk a little bit about what treaties are and how they affect everybody, not just us Native Americans, but both sides of the table sign the treaties. Just do maybe a quick 101 on what treaties are. And I know I always like to say that the supreme law of the land as what the, you know, what the founders of this country have put it.
Right. And, you know, I think what's most important is that most people think treaties are artifacts of the past. That's a huge misconception that have. And, you know, in all reality, these Americans are still benefiting from those treaties. And those treaties were about friendship and peace and to leave the earth in a better way than we found it. And so, you know, all these treaties have been ignored. And, you know, we're at a point in history and in time where we have to say enough is enough. And what do those treaties, you know, protect for us? Well, as Native people, those treaties, our ancestors stood for who we were, and they signed those treaties to protect our way of life. So when they introduced the boarding schools and took our language and, you know, all those things that define who we are, they failed those treaties by taking that away from us. And we're now reclaiming who we are. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And that's what treaties do for us as Native people. And as non-Native people, they signed those treaties with us saying, you can protect who you are. We're going to sign these treaties and allow you to be who you are. And so some of those things that the treaties protect is the right to hunt, fish, gather, and travel slash occupy. So, you know, those colonizers didn't give us those rights. We were born with those rights. And so when people tell me, oh, stand and pledge allegiance to the flag because the soldiers fought for your freedom. Well, Robert, we were born liberated. We were born free until the Europeans showed up and stole our freedom for theirs. And so, you know, I get soldiers are brave, but they're fighting the wrong fight, and they should come to our side and say, hey, you know what? Let's defend who we are, because that's what treaties do. They protect who we are. And so in reality, Robert, we gave them rights to hunt, fish, gather, and be here under those treaties, those colonizers. So, you know, there's a lot to know about treaties. There's many of them, and a lot of them are about a mile long. And what we really do need to know is that treaties intended for us to be good to each other. And I think that's the basis of starting, you know, what to know about treaties.
Well, and what you've done up there, and we've talked about in past shows, when I say up there, you're in northern Minnesota right now, and you're the organizer for MN350 up there. What you do is you educate, like, you know, you have the DNR and you have sheriffs coming in. And when you talk about treaties in a calm, good way, it's more receptive, and people probably didn't learn that in school or cop school or sheriff school.
Right. And, you know, I know the Minnesota Indians Affairs Council was having, you know, discussion on treaty education in schools, because, again, you know, that's where a lot of misconceptions come from, because, you know, history, the colonizers wrote history to favor them and kind of left us out of the history books. But, you know, that treaty education component is not available in our school systems on or off the reservation. And what we need to do is build that awareness. So, you know, tell that education piece comes into play into the school systems. I think as Anishinaabe, as, you know, Native peoples, we start having those conversations with our friends, our family, and our local elected officials to say treaties do matter. And so, you know, building those relationships, if, you know, they're not always easy. They're kind of challenging at times. And what you need to do is, you know, instead of getting being aggressive and being loud about all that, Robert, we need to remind them that treaties do matter. And we're going to spoon feed you on how to be a better treaty person.
Yeah, you get more sugar or you get more honey with sugar. Isn't that how it goes?
Well, you know, Robert, you know what my motto is? You kill them with kindness and you beat them down with the truth. And so you got to show up in a good way, you know, and speak your truth and don't back down from it. And, you know, like, you know, moving into the sugar bush when DNR came and said, you can't be here. I had to remind them in a good way that I have every right to be here. And I'm going to stand here and defend that. And we need to see more people doing that, because they can't run us out anymore, Robert. We have to learn to be strong and stand up for who we are and not be afraid. We have to be fearless. We have to be resilient. But then again, I understand, you know, a lot of our people are going through daily struggles, and it's hard to be resilient. But we hope that someday we find healing within ourselves, reclaim who we are, be resilient again, and defend like no other, and remind them in a loud and proud kind of way that we're still here.
Absolutely. You know, and it's interesting, too. I think when we, and maybe we can talk a little bit about this in the next segment, but I think when we come in a good way, we also have people joining us in not a good way. And what I mean by that is we have a whole epidemic of scholarly people that are pretendians that aren't Native American, that claim to be Native American, and or don't answer the straight way. Like, you know, you don't have to be enrolled to be Native American. You know your our way, who your family is, and things like that. And there's questions out there that a lot of people that jump on these things. I was just talking to a guy today that we were talking about Standing Rock, and he was at Standing Rock, and he's from Standing Rock and been out there the whole time. And we had a long discussion about people not coming in a good way. And I said there was a lot of good things. We started this radio show with this. I know a lot of your activism started with Standing Rock. There was a lot of good things, but there was also some stuff that really stuck in the craw of the great nation of Standing Rock. And so we can talk a little bit about that, too, maybe in the next segment.
Yeah, I think that's important. We talk about even not the so good things, Robert, because it helps us be better people when we do.
Right on. Hey, we're here with Nancy Bolio, MN350 activist, just an all-around groovy person. And Haley and I will be back with Nancy after this short break. Please stay with us. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, I'm Mary T. of the Mary T. Family of Companies. Our new Camellia Rose Assisted Living and Memory Care is a bold reimagining of what assisted living can be. Our emphasis is on creative meals, outdoor walking paths, and a spectrum of restorative therapies and activities. We are founded on a history of care. We are dedicated to enriching lives. Learn more about Camellia Rose Assisted Living and Memory Care by visiting MaryTInc.com.
Hey, Twin Cities, Latunji with Latunji's Palette Bakery and Cafe, located at 1400 Park Avenue South in the Elliott Park community. We invite you to discover the best peach cobbler, coffee, soups, salads, and sandwiches in the Twin Cities. And also, you can find my delectable treats at North Market Grocery Store, Annex Farmers Market, Plant Based Pop-Up, Bobby and Steve's, Handsome Hog, and our website, latunjispalette.com. That's latunjispalette.com.
Hey, Ogama.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, thanks, Haley. We're here with Nancy Bolio, and we're talking treaties, but also it's been the season, it seems like, that there's a lot of pretendians running around acting all sacred, and we'd like to maybe give our listeners a template of how do you find out a real Indian from a fake Indian. So welcome back, Nancy.
Well, Robert, you first kind of figure that out by, like, you know, even before we start this conversation, we sage. And we do that in a good way, because I'm doing that for all of us right now.
Right on.
And it's my baby shell. And it comes with me wherever. Because you just never know when you're going to have to sage, Robert. When, you know, right. Negative things pop up and you need to sage. And yeah, so, you know, many of y'all know that we were in a sugar bush camp just 2 miles from my home up the road here on 1855 ceded territory. And unfortunately, the 1855 treaty people, most of us had to walk out of that camp, not this Sunday, but the Sunday before. And, you know, I haven't publicly went about that because there's a lot of things, a lot of energy, negative energy coming from why we had to defend who we were as Anishinaabe slash DNA wise, because we have this person in camp that's she's from Japan and she's Caucasian, and she was adopted by another community here in northern Minnesota. And it's been a hard experience. There's been some personal chaos in camp, which led to, you know, kind of exposing who she was and what her real intention being there really was about. And it was a hard lesson learned. And when we walked out of camp, we did not surrender, because again, you know, those relationships that I built with those local elected officials, they knew we were there as, you know, good treaty people, and that we show up in peaceful way and we do things in a good way. And so we reached out to our local elected officials and said, we're stepping out of camp because we can't support what's going on down there. And so I want to talk about, you know, that individual and community responsibility. And speaking to some of the elders, I said, how come no one warned us of this person? Mm-hmm. And I was told, oh, we don't speak bad of other people. And I said, I respect that and I get that. But what happened to individual and community responsibility? Those are one of our teachings. I know I should walk with a good heart. And if I'm going to show up to walk with, you know, show up with good intentions in mind. And if I show up with some bad energy or I'm making mistakes, I would expect the community to call me in individually and say, we need to talk to you. And your actions, your behavior, your thoughts are harmful to us. And this is where you're going wrong. So we would address the behavior, not attack the person. We would try to correct the behavior in the sake that we all are there in a good way. And so I asked the elder, I said, how come that never happened? What happened to that teaching? And she goes, well, we just don't do that anymore. And 2 days later, she calls me back and says, I gave that some thought. You're right. If we don't get back to those teachings, we allow these kind of people to keep showing up and creating harm from one community to the next. And, you know, that's what we need to see. Stepping up and saying, I'm willing to talk about the harm, and it's not comfortable, but if we don't do it, then who does it, right?
Right. Well, you know, I just got to back up a little bit too and talk a little bit about some history. And I know when things are flying and happening, let's just use Standing Rock for an example that happened in 2016, 2017. There were so many people that were fundraising, for instance, for the camps, that the camps never saw the money. And these people, you know, were a lot of times were not doing well, they weren't doing it in a good way. So you always have to be careful, and you always have to ask questions when it comes to somebody. We talk about this too, Nancy, about art. Who made this art piece? Who are they? And like in our store, we can tell you everyone that's either made it, designed it, or beaded it, or painted it, and we can tell you the name. Now, that's in the same line, because there's people that grab onto our energy, and they say things like, when it comes to art, you know, this is Native inspired. No, it's Native stolen. It's like there's no such thing as inspired unless, you know, you're giving all your proceeds to a tribe.
Right. I call it exploiting our culture, Robert.
Yeah.
You know, and you're so right. There are, you know, people showing up just worried about the money, you know, those personal agendas, and how do they create a livelihood for themselves, you know, using, abusing our way of life. And, you know, this person was adopted by another community. And I get, you know, in our culture and in our tribes, we do adopt. And we would hope that our adoptees, you know, are there with a good heart and be there in a supportive role. And just because you're adopted from one community doesn't give you the authority to go into other Native communities and say, this is who I am and how, don't you ever question me. You know, there's something wrong there, Robert, when we, you know, as 1855, trying to defend our spaces from these harmful people exploiting our way to apply for grants and funding to keep their livelihood, that we're the bad people here. We're only speaking our truth, Robert, and unfortunately, that hurts people's ears.
Yeah, and, you know, I always think of, you know, I'm sober, and, you know, people always wanted to come and change, like, let's say AA, for instance, you know, the 12-step program. And it's, no, this has been working for 50 years, now 80 years. Come join us. Don't come change us. And it's like, come join us and support us. Don't try and run us.
Right. And, you know, these adopted relatives should never use our own culture against us as well. You know, this this person that has been adopted by the other community in 63 territory, that's up in a Red Lake reservation. And they're good people up there. Not, quite honestly, they're not tolerating it right now neither. So there's been some light shed on this particular individual here in northern Minnesota, thinking she can come here and, you know, walk all over us because she's been adopted. And how dare you question me being Anishinaabe? It's like, you can't do that, Robert, as an adoptive relative or as an ally, trying to think you can be our savior coming in here speaking for us and telling us what to do. Because you know what, we've been here a long time. We know our own communities and we know what we need to do in order to protect what's all that, you know, the sacred, right, Robert? Right. We know that,
right? And you know, just in my own history, I know people and have asked me to speak, and especially, you know, during Standing Rock, and I didn't feel comfortable. We were in a supportive way for the tribe of Standing Rock. I was not a spokesperson for Standing Rock. I could talk to the news and tell them what I've seen, but I'm not speaking for anybody.
Right. You know, and that was one of my key points in this whole situation here down at the camp, is that you can't do that, because I was told that there was phone calls made and emails sent to the DNR on behalf of us. And it's like, how come we weren't told about it? How come we weren't invited to the conversation? And this person said, well, I am Anishinaabe. I can. It's like, no, you can't do that. Right. So, you know, it's really disturbing that, you know, there's people out there doing this. And you're right, Robert. It's not just here. There's a lot of bad energy out there in our spaces, trying to capitalize on, you know, our way of life and protecting that way of life. And, you know, it was really, it's been a rough last 2 weeks, you know, but I think our departure, you know, when we had a visit with the DNR on our way out, because we actually met them, we left in a good way. And the elder says, you couldn't have done that any better.
Right.
You know, we explained who we are and how we're going to continue to save that historical place. And for people that just wondering what this camp was about, it's there's the migration story, the Made story, the migration, the creation story, and the Red Lake Trail crossed through there at one time. So there's cultural significance there. And as Anishinaabe, these being our homelands, we should be the first people speaking.
Right.
And when that happened, we have problems, Robert.
Right. And I mean, that not only goes to the Pretendian, but that goes in from parts of the nation. And that's what I was trying to get at, too, is like, I'm a Ho-Chunk. I'm not from South Dakota, so to speak, or North Dakota. And we can let our relatives speak for themselves in a good way, and we can support that. And that's what we need to do as good relatives.
Right. And like, you know, when I went to Standing Rock, it was a support role, and I learned from being in a supportive role what to bring home and be part of the lead here to defend who we are.
Right on. Hey, Nancy, thanks for stopping in. Always some good information. Thanks for smudging us off in a good way before we started this, because that's what we do. You know, we come in a good way, as best as our ability and in the best way we've been taught. So Peeny Gee again for being on.
All right, we'll see you next week, and thanks for everybody.
All right. Hey, that was Nancy Bolio, Bemidji 350 and MN 350. We'll be right back with Bob Blake from Red Lake. We're going to talk some solar energy and some fun stuff. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Away.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. No days off in Washington ahead of a congressional vote on a bipartisan budget agreement to raise the debt ceiling. President Biden telling reporters as he left the White House that he's confident the U.S. will be able to meet the new June 5th debt deadline.
I never say I'm confident what the Congress is going to do, but I feel very good about it.
After laying a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at Arlington National Cemetery, President Biden spoke to a crowd of veterans and families, highlighting the importance of remembering sacrifices of fallen military members. Explosions rattling the Ukrainian capital of Kyiv today as Russian ballistic missiles hit after a more common nighttime barrage of the city by drones and cruise missiles. Eight people rescued from the rubble of a six-story building that collapsed in Davenport, Iowa, Sunday. That building now slated for demolition. Fire Chief Mike Carlston.
Is posing a risk to responders, and we are actively working for the best course of action.
This is ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The Commissioner of Baseball says he doesn't want the Brewers to leave Milwaukee. Rob Manfred says that's why the state of Wisconsin should help the Southeast Wisconsin Stadium District meet its obligations to pay for repairs.
I'm confident that the governmental bodies will come up with a plan to fund what's just an existing obligation under the lease.
And if they don't?
It's an obligation, and I just don't believe that's going to happen.
Manfred was in Milwaukee yesterday. Wisconsin would spend $4 million over 2 years to attract workers to the state under the latest working draft of the state budget. Democrats on the Joint Finance Committee say that's not enough and doesn't address Wisconsin's child care shortage. In sports, the Giants blanked the Brewers last night 5-0. Milwaukee starts Freddy Peralta tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
This Memorial Day salute has been brought to you by Bug Tussle. As we celebrate the liberty that we enjoy as Americans, let us remember the sacrifices that have made our liberty possible. Our freedoms have been won and defended at a dear cost. Join Bug Tussle in remembering our fallen heroes, even as we pray for those who are serving our country today. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Bandana, check. Boots, check. Gloves, check. As a motorcycle rider in Wisconsin, you may go to great lengths to protect your image. Just be sure you're protecting yourself, too. Wear a Department of Transportation-approved helmet. Perform safety checks on your motorcycle. Know the traffic laws and don't take risks. Motorists and motorcyclists can work together to achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roads. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
On Memorial Day, we keep alive the memory of those who died for our country. Brought to you by Oak Street Cafe, 926 Oak Street, De Pere. For over 15 years, serving traditional American food, great breakfasts and burgers. Open daily at 1 p.m. on De Pere's West Side.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
Hey, really excited to have Bob Blake from Red Lake, Robert Blake with Solar Bear with the Solar News online here. Welcome to Native Roots Radio, Robert.
All right, Robert. Hey, Robert, I'm reporting from the Intercontinental Hotel in downtown St. Paul, Minnesota, at the first ever Tribal Energy Equity event. And this is an historical event because it brings together tribal leaders across Turtle Island and federal officials and state officials to talk about, renewable energy and how this could be used as economic development too for tribal nations. But there are some situations that need to be ironed out so tribal communities can connect their projects to the grid. So that's kind of the basis of this conference and what we're talking about and trying to come up with some solutions that we could implement on a federal level.
There is a lot of people there, and for me, a lot of networking, government officials, people that are like the organization that is putting this on in downtown St. Paul that have maybe a guidepost and a way for tribes to join in a good way. And it was really exciting to hear. And I know you were one of the keynote speakers too, to hear what's going on in Indian country and everyone's kind of at the same place.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm a founding board member of this organization, IREC, and it is a collaboration between all the tribes and of course, you know, they get their funding from philanthropy, and you know, it's really exciting the way that, you know, that they're bringing, you know, these situations, these questions that tribes have straight to, you know, Chairman Phillips, you know, who was there, you know?
Right.
I mean, there's no better person to talk to, you know, than the man himself, you know?
Right.
So I think that it's really great that FERC has been here in town and is listening to the tribes and the obstacles that they're facing around renewable energy deployment, you know, because you're basically going to get tribes all this money to develop renewable energy projects such as solar, wind, whatever, but you're not going to let them connect it to the grid. That doesn't make sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So we're just going to have a bunch of projects that are going to be sitting there, you know, in all reality, doing nothing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why, this convening of these tribal leaders and these federal officials and state officials, I might add, is just so important, because if we can't connect to the grid, then these projects might as well just sit there and collect dust. You know what I mean?
Right. Hey, the organization, and you just touched on it lightly about getting money not through the government, because there's so many strings involved and so many partnerships that would dwindle what the tribes are doing. But you guys are doing it right, where you're reaching out directly to organizations and companies to donate so you can help tribes. And I think that's brilliant.
Yeah. So what's really interesting is that, you know, like MacArthur Foundation, the McKnight Foundation, you know, a lot of these foundations, are essentially giving money to IREC to be able to stand up on its own, to be able to help the tribes, because, you know, they know that this is real and you know, that, you know, tribal, our energy poverty is rampant in tribal communities, you know, and like I think one of the panelists said today, you know, it's a life or death situation in some of these communities, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
So for philanthropy to recognize that and to want to take action and join forces, you know, on what I believe are some very critical issues, you know, it really is incredible. And they understand that the problems that we're facing in our communities, you know, are directly related to poverty, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if we can attack poverty with renewable energy, then, you know, what kind of outcome can we see, right?
Right.
So, you know, and can we make our communities healthier? You know, that's the hope here, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's not about just turning on the light. You know, it's about saving people's lives. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And changing the trajectory, you know, of Native country. And, you know, it's so many times, you know, Robert, you know, where I was left out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really nice to see that tribal nations are being put at the forefront, you know, of this. And let's be honest. I mean, tribal nations are going to lead the way to this energy transition, you know, and we're right in the front of fighting climate change.
You know, what's awesome, too, is that there was a couple speakers earlier on, too, that work for the government or work in a way. And, you know, the new bills that have been just passed via the government, those are like 200 pages long. And, you know, with my ADHD, I'm like done after two pages. So to have expertise, know what these pages mean and how they mean or how they work for nations in certain ways and not in certain ways is really, really an excellent thing that's happening through this organization that you're with.
Yeah. And I think one of the important things there is too, is that, you know, we try to, you know, get experts and we hire the right people that, you know, that want to do right by tribal nations. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the big things about this is vetting the right people, having the right people work with us. And, you know, unfortunately that takes time and a lot of tribes don't have the capacity to do all that.
Right.
You know? So, you know, this is an organization that's really trying to do that. And, you know, it's in partnership also with Native Sun. Native Sun is also a partner on this. And
mm-hmm.
So it's been really exciting and I'm really happy with the turnout. And
yeah.
We've gotten some great feedback from the participants at this conference. Just been wonderful, Robert.
It has been, and I know there's going to be another one coming up. And I if it's in a warm place, Bob, just make sure it's during the winter. But
I think we can make that happen, Robert.
But what's cool too is that you know you have this happening in downtown St. Paul, by in a hotel that's owned by a tribe. And it's just been really beautiful. I was kind of in shock when people were saying from where they were, where they came from. It's all over the country that have come here.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, that was done, you know, intentionally. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When we first had our first meeting, you know, I was like, well, listen, let's have it at the Intercontinental, you know, because it's owned by Mille Lacs.
Mm-hmm.
We can grab talent from around the Twin Cities. We have a big Native population.
Right.
You know, we're passing some progressive legislation on a state level there that I think we need to talk about, that we need to share with the rest of the country, you know, with
right.
the rest of these tribes. And, you know, it just sort of all aligned up, right? You know, we've got the Net Zero Project happening out at Prairie Island.
Yeah.
You know, there's tribes all over the state of Minnesota that are pursuing renewable energy projects. You know, the Comrades is creating the tribe. Oh, by the way, the Tribal Energy Advisory Board got passed on the state at the state
mm-hmm.
level. So now we have money. We have a staff person that's going to be directly working on, you know, energy, tribal energy, you know, issues related there. So, I mean, it's good things that are happening.
That
100% clean energy just recently passed. So, I mean, you know, I made my case for our state to host this for the first one. You know?
Yeah.
I said, we don't know how things are going to go. Let's go with it. And consequently, this has been a success, Robert. So I couldn't be more happier than the way everything turned out.
So what do we got going on for tomorrow? What do you know off the top of your head? More conferencing?
Got more speakers talking tomorrow from the federal government, from state government. And they're just going to be talking about, you know, the issues, you know, just like we've been going over here. You know what I mean? Like, how do you interconnect? You know, what are the obstacles? What are the things we need to be thinking about? You know, how much renewable energy can we put on the transmission line? You know what I mean?
Right.
Just all these little things that the utilities don't want to tell us because, let's be honest, that's their business. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And so they don't want to share that information with them. So, you know, we have to hold conferences like this, and we have to share knowledge, and we have to work together and, you know, and just be good relatives and help one another. And that's what we really want to do here is really just be able to connect, you know, network and share a lot of these ideas. And also, you know, let's be honest, let's brag a little bit about our projects and what we're all doing, man. It's exciting to see all the good things happen across Turtle Island with all these tribal nations in regards to renewable energy and sustainability.
Well, you know, when you bring the experts in, you know, there's, let's say you have battery storage. There's certain times that you can sell that storage back to these companies and that are, you make more money than you would like during the middle of the day, or maybe it's the peak time or things like that. But me as a tribal member and a legislator, I have no idea.
Right. Yep. Yep. Exactly. And that's why it's important for us, you know, the experts to be able to give you guys the right information that you need, but you need to be able to trust the source. You need to be able to trust the people that are telling you this, and that's what we're trying to do. So, you know, is be able to bring you know, professionals that, you know, together that tribes can trust, vet them, and then, you know, rec them out throughout through the country, you know, almost like a good housekeeping seal of approval, right?
Yeah. Like,
you know, and you know, and I was explaining to the, you know, the executive director there of this organization, being like, you know, we're going to have to get a good Arizona emissions, you know, insurance policy, but I think in the long run, it's worth it to be able to, you know, share, you know, and give our opinion and help tribes vet the best people for these projects. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey, Bob, can you hold on for just 2 minutes? And then I want to come back to you and just pump it up again real quick, and then I'll let you go. So hold on the line here for a 2 minute break here. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we're with Bob Blake from Red Lake. Ho-wah.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
When it comes to mental health, making connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Connections can bring comfort, hope, and joy. Find ways that work for yourself and others, like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, creating space to listen. Visit cmentalhealth.org. That's cmentalhealth.org. cmentalhealth.org. Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
This is Ross Stadtheim, partner at MJSB Employment Justice. At our firm, we specialize in cases where our clients tried to do the right thing by reporting illegal or unethical conduct and were demoted or fired. There are laws in place that protect people like you who tried to do the right thing by reporting a problem but were retaliated against. At MJSB Employment Justice, we are fearless advocates who will protect your rights and obtain justice, whether it be a Fortune 500 company or something smaller.
Be heard. You deserve better. Contact us today at mjsbjustice.com.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. How? Yeah. Hey, we're here with Robert Blake and of Solar Bear and Native Sun, the nonprofit energy company that helps young people learn about energy and do energy. And this is the time to be a Minnesotan and a time to be Native, and it's a time to really lead the way in protecting Mother Earth, Robert, and in the solar way and whatever renewable energy that you have up your sleeve, right?
Yep, absolutely, Robert. Hey, Robert, I just also too want to tell everyone too that last week we had a great press conference. Native Sun Community Power Development was awarded the Michigan and Wisconsin electric vehicle charging corridors for the intertribal EV network. So we're going into Wisconsin and Michigan now. So it's exciting, and we'll be deploying electric EV charging stations in all the tribal communities. And, you know, like I said, it's really nice to see the Department of Energy prioritizing tribal nations with this technology, because, like I said, you know, we're always the last to get it. Now we're the first. So, you know, when we talk about the Justice 40 initiative happening with the DOE and the federal government, this is a great example of a program that's currently happening.
That is awesome. Hey, I was explaining to, Cynthia, I think is her name, who was helping you with this organization and how.
Yeah, Cynthia Pacheco, yep.
Right. And I was talking to her about you and I going down to Iowa and really kicking off our show in Solar Bear and, you know, in 2016 election and how, or was it the 2020? That's what it was. The presidential election and how far we've come, and it's just been exciting to watch you, and then by seeing how far you've come, kind of, you know, think about how far I've come too with the radio show and all the things that we work on for our communities.
Yeah, well, I mean, I really, you know, think it's kind of cool to kind of see this Native Renaissance taking place.
Mm-hmm.
Right now in our world, you know, that Native people are, you know, being appreciative for our culture and, you know, for our values and, you know, for, you know, just for, you know, the things that are constantly seems like it's all around us. And I kind of feel like it's at a great time too, because the planet needs us. You know, we need this environment. We need the planet. And so it's a very symbiotic relationship, and you know, we got to step up for Mother Earth right now.
Absolutely, and what a great way! Hey, so let's talk about real quick before I let you go, because I know you're busy. People want to talk to you about energy, and you're still downtown St. Paul. Let's just give a quick little FYI to everybody listening what you're doing today and what you've been doing this this week here in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yeah, so we got the Tribal Energy Equity Summit going on at the Intercontinental St. Paul. Please come check it out if you want to. Tomorrow's the last day, but we've got some great speakers, some great people lined up that are there that are going to talk about energy and tribal energy, you know, development and involvement. So it should be a good day tomorrow, Robert.
Right on. And I'm going to try and make it early in the morning again. And the experts are there, you know. Do we put a small solar panels onto our roof, or does that make sense? Can we do it? How do we plug in to the system as you were talking about? How do we play nice with the government? How do we play nice with these, you know, energy companies? And what are our rights? I think that's one of the things that could be baffling for a tribe to come into this world that maybe they're not used to.
Yeah, and I'll go back to the thing that I always have down on my, you know, on my bio, but communication, cooperation, and collaboration, you know, that's what wins it, you know. And if we're going to fight climate change, and if we're going to win, we're going to have, you know, cooperation amongst all of us. going to take communication. It's going to take the collaboration piece. So, you know, that's what these meetings are all about. That's what these conferences are all about. And, you know, that's what Native people are all about. So I'm really excited for this to be happening right now. It's the first ever. And we'll just make this an annual thing, Robert.
Absolutely. And then we should have one coming up soon. And, wow, we have people from California that are there. I talked to some people that are really working on, and we have Nevada. We have people that are in these climates that really could, and have land that they could really do, make a difference for their communities, for the planet. And I think that's one of the things that I feel like really needs to be brought up every once in a while, is that we're also saving the planet by getting away from fossil fuels.
Yeah, really, right? I mean, you know, that's the best thing about this, that the technology's never been here before, and now it's here, and we can use renewable energy to use it as an economic development tool, to use it as a social justice tool, you know, and then also create, you know, jobs and you know, and good, you know, family-sustaining, you know, jobs with this stuff. So it's just a great win all the way around, Robert.
One of the things, and we only got a couple minutes, and I really appreciate you holding on with me. Haley's having a little difficulties, but so nobody really wants to listen to me talk to myself on the radio. So I appreciate you holding on a little bit longer than I asked you to. Really appreciate it. One of the things that I think is really interesting about this whole thing is that technology. Now, 3 years ago, we were talking about batteries. Now we're talking about batteries that are less expensive. And what else is around the corner that's going to be less expensive when it comes to renewable energy?
Well, I think one of the really interesting things that's going to be coming about is, you know, solar PV in the window system. So windows of skyscrapers, windows in your home will, you know, eventually be generating energy, you know?
Wow.
And so I think that's going to be really exciting because they're really making some big strides in that. And so I can see these big skyscrapers eventually just being big power producers,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so that's pretty interesting to me. And then, you know, like you said, Robert, the battery technology just keeps on getting better and better. And then I would also say hydrogen. I think hydrogen is going to be making a big play in the future, Robert. I think that we're gonna go from, you know, engines to electric vehicles to hydrogen-based vehicles. That's the way I see it rolling. Well, I think it's exciting. Great time to be alive and to be in this industry.
Well, it's like liquid hydrogen is water, so you're going to fill up your gas tank with water, basically.
and it's the electrolyzers that come in. Alton Fridley is making right now to be able to do that type of work.
Wow.
It's absolutely exciting, Robert. And like I said, man, I just hit this thing at the right time. To be honest with you, that's really it, the truth.
No, but it's a good thing, and you have a great heart, and people that first meet you trust you, and you've never, it's just a good thing, and I'm glad you're leading the way, and it makes me proud, and I think it makes your family proud, it makes your tribe proud, and it makes people that listen to you here on the radio proud. So I want to just say, Peeny Geegee, thank you so much for stopping in. I know you have a lot going on tonight and tomorrow, and your energy was well needed here. I really appreciate you.
Oh, man. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, everyone.
Hey.
Solar on, buddy.
Solar on. Hey, this was Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. We'll see you tomorrow. Free Leonard Peltier now.
Eat Local Minnesota is a great way to find locally owned Minnesota restaurants and food purveyors. You'll find high quality food and
As a veteran of our country's armed services, you may be experiencing hardships, such as the inability to pay rent, utilities, or receive other life-sustaining services. And once again, you're called upon by family to serve and protect. We want you to know we are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's not easy to ask for a hand up, but we are clear in our mission. No Wisconsin veteran should ever have to face homelessness or lose heat, power, or water again. Apply today by calling 833-WIS-VRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Visit VRAPWI.com.
ABC News, I'm Andy.